The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Hello, it's Chris.
I can't believe that I'm saying this, but hello and welcome to Chris vs. the People. My name is Chris Clemens and I'm the host. I am so excited to finally be starting this show. I have been looking forward to this, and this has been a long time coming. Now, before we get the show started, I want to let you know that there will be new episodes of this show every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe to Chris vs. the People wherever you get your podcasts, and we have video episodes up with two camera angles on youtube.com/@ChrisVSThePeople. Be sure to hit the bell while you're there and follow us on all the other social medias that we have down in the description of this episode. Now, you might be wondering, what is Chris vs. the People? And I feel like after, you know, 10 plus years of interviewing strangers on the street and talking to random people and having worked on multiple comedy podcasts, this feels like the perfect culmination of everything that's happened in my 12 plus year career. It's obviously a comedy podcast, but we're also going to get a little deep here too. I want listeners tuning in to either find comfort in the unanimous dysfunction, misfortune, ups and downs of our lives that we all kind of experience, or have this be a nice distraction from it. There's going to be different series on this podcast where we get couples on the phone and we do counseling. We're going to have guests that I interview, and we are going to do open phone lines where I pick calls at random. Or we might do a deep dive on a couple listeners and really, you know, have me interview them about their life. I would love to hear what you guys would like to see and hear as well. So be sure, if you're watching the YouTube video, to comment down below and leave a review wherever you get your podcast, guys. That helps us out immensely on the charts. And listen, new show, same desperate need to be on the charts. So leave a review, 5 stars. But for this show, you guys are key players in this, which is why I want you guys to get involved. There will be a Google form on the show's link tree and also in the description of each episode where we will prompt you to submit different answers, and that is how we'll be picking callers. I've got some crazy calls lined up for this episode that I'm excited to get into. But first, I want to say that I'm nominated for a Webby Award for Comedy Creator. If you could go hit the link, there's like 2 days left of voting. And I would like, oh my God, I've never been nominated and like never win anything or get recognized for anything. So like, this would mean a lot if you voted, especially with this being the first episode. And then also for this episode, we are going to be doing after shows on my Patreon, patreon.com/ChrisClemens, where we're going to smoke or play games or break down the episode. I'll get more personal about my actual life, but I wanted for this episode to be submitted by patrons on my Patreon. So all of the people we're going to be talking to today are from my Patreon. And with that being said, cheers to a brand new show, this is so exciting. I'm so excited that you guys are here. I hope you like it. And that being said, we have our very first call to get to. Our first caller today is Garnet, who said, I just broke up with someone and I feel bad, but I don't think I should. Am I wrong for breaking up with someone who the whole time was unprepared to be in a relationship because she's not over her ex? Hi, Garnet. This is Chris from Chris vs. the People. Now, you said that you just broke up with someone and you feel bad, but you don't think you should.
Yes.
So why did you break up with someone? You're 27. This is your first relationship.
This person was in a relationship for like 3 years. And I've actually known her for 4. So I knew her before she was with a relationship. I knew her during a relationship. And then it wasn't until after her relationship was over that I even entertained the idea of hooking up or doing anything intimately.
Did you meet under the auspice of being friends, or did you start to like have a crush on her from the start?
I did not have any intention of being romantic. I thought she was awesome. She was my best friend's best friend from master's program.
Oh shit. So you're like smart.
No, I didn't go to master's. She went to master's. My best friend went to master's. I mean, everyone in my life are now therapists. So like, that's kind of great.
Got it. Got it. So it just turns out we're both stupid. Cool.
Yeah, we're stupid, but we surround ourselves with smart, honest people, right?
Amen.
And funny, hopefully, I guess.
Okay, so you met her, you thought she was awesome, and you were just friends. Then she got into a relationship.
Yeah, and I actually stood by the relationship. The relationship was lit. They were super sweet together, super cute. And then they broke up, and we actually had each other's locations all 4 years, but we never, like, were romantic or caught up or anything like that. And actually, I don't even remember how we met after the breakup.
So were you guys just like passive friends? You weren't like keeping up with each other?
Yeah, we were passive friends. And then I throw this annual party where we all dress up as pirates and she was invited.
Naturally.
And that's when we kicked things off romantically.
Okay. And so why did you end up breaking up with them? And did you know going into it that they weren't over their ex?
Yes. At the time, I knew that they weren't over their ex.
Oh,
but
girl.
Being 27 and not ever being in a relationship and also just really enjoying everything, I was like, let's just see where these good vibes are going. And so I was honestly quite crazy and like asked to be exclusive, which she said no to. I was really trying to push a relationship when she kept on saying no.
Okay, but part of what you submitted was that she's unavailable but wants me, and you're supposed to feel bad that you don't want her back.
Yes. So here's when the script flipped. So I was the one constantly going after her, being like, I'm ready for a relationship. I'm going to force her to be in a relationship.
Oh.
And her the whole time was like, I'm not ready to emotionally be in a relationship. We need to not be in a relationship.
Did you know that the pirate party was over and you weren't supposed to hold her hostage?
I mean, I was a pirate. I don't know.
Alrighty.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've been alone my whole life. So I'm like, let me catch a glimpse of the good vibes going.
But I really get that because I think that's something that, like, I was 30 when I met someone and really, like, it wasn't technically a relationship, but to me, it felt like my first relationship. And I think, you may feel differently, but me growing up, I was prioritizing other things than a relationship. Like, I wanted to build my career and I wanted to do X, Y, and Z. And I think when, like, if this is similar to you and that resonates, it's like when you feel ready for it, you want it. You aren't going to stop at any sort of, at any bump in the road because you're like, I have put in the work mentally, emotionally, etc. I am ready for this. And it's hard when you feel that connection with someone, but it's not like, it's like right person, wrong time. Do you think that that's like what this is a case of?
Yeah. So then I spoke to my therapist and she was like, what really got me was my therapist was like, you keep falling in love with people that are emotionally unavailable. And I was like,
whoa, okay. I'm feeling a little called out right now, Garnet. I'm feeling a little targeted.
Yeah. And then I went on like a full-blown spiral. And that's when the script kind of flipped because then she saw that I was pulling away and being like, oh, like she actually isn't ready for a relationship. So I was like, you know what? I need a break. I think I'm putting too much pressure on you. And you're not emotionally there yet. And then she on the other side, which honestly pushed me away more, was like, wait, no, I want you. I want you. I want you. You're amazing. I need you in my life. I want you. I want you. And I'm like, okay, you say you want me, but you're still...
See, that's what's fucked up, is when people want their cake and they want to eat it too. Like, you can't have the cake and eat it.
That's exactly what my friend said.
It's tough because you hear these statements that are like, I want you and I care about you. And maybe it gets to a point where you say, I love you. But then the actions aren't doing the same thing. And it's so fucked up.
Right. Right.
So where do you guys stand, like, as of now, dare I ask?
So then we took a little break, and I actually met someone else. Then I had, like, a little cute romance with another person. And then we got into some tiffs and taffs with, like, this past person, the one that I was seeing for a while, and we fully broke things off.
Well, I would hope you had a little romantic moment with someone else. I hope things were broken off, girl.
I mean, everything was out in the open. Everything was talked about. Everything. Everyone was aware of other people.
Sure. I don't know if I'm sold on that one, babe. But yeah, I'm also, are you back with this person?
As of
I knew once you didn't answer my question and you started carrying on with your story, I was like, oh girl, you went back. Knocked back on the door.
Well, she asked me on a date. We are taking things actually slow. And she said something to me that made me feel like she's actually over her ex.
Oh, and what was the password?
The password was, I don't care what the future holds. I don't care if we end up like hurting me or like where this future goes. I know what I want right now, and what I want to do is keep seeing you. And I think the majority of the time before was like, I don't want you to hurt me. I really don't want you to hurt me. I don't feel emotionally ready. But her being able to say that, and her going also on dates and like going and exploring the world, but also realizing that like she still sees a future with me without the pressure of needing it to be perfect and correct and right. That was the password for me.
Gotcha. Is that what you want? Like, I know that I'm someone who like absolutely puts myself the furthest thing away from first in these moments. Which,
right.
Like, I guess I'm putting myself first because it's like, okay, I want this relationship. And it's like, I'm willing to make so many sacrifices. Do you feel that you're having to do that still? Or are you okay with it not being a relationship and it just seeing where it goes? Because when you want a relationship, it's like, you want a relationship. Is that like, you're fine sacrificing that now?
That is a great question. I think I'm still grappling with that.
Okay. But I think I only ask because it is, you're putting yourself in a position to really get yourself hurt again. And I guess you just have to ask yourself, is that worth it?
Right. Yeah.
I didn't mean to hit you with existential dread. I am just looking out for my girls.
No,
okay.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I think for me, I don't know if I can say this, but like, I think I do and can be really clouded by great sex and great romance and big gestures. And I think that that's something I need to unpack with my therapist and unpack with myself. But I do think that there is a future connection of a relationship and a future with that. But I just, that's the part where I start to spiral a little bit too, of like, will I ever be ready for a relationship? Will I ever actually be able to fully trust someone?
But I don't think look at it with that kind of pressure though, of like, will I ever be ready for a relationship? Will I ever trust someone? Like, the thing is, if you look at it like anything else in life, are you ready for anything? And the answer is no, but have you figured it out in the past? Yeah. So like, try and take stock of like where you are, I would say, and be like, am I willing to put in the, like, am I down to spend time trying to trust this person and like that kind of thing?
You know what the honest answer is? And she's actually right here, so I'm going to say it in front of her too.
This is stressful and I'm clenched. Oh my God. Have you been having this whole conversation in front of her?
Yes.
Girl, you are a menace. Holy shit.
I think she deserves to hear this before it's on any kind of podcast.
Well, yeah, no, me too. I thought you maybe would have told her this before you. Oh my God. Okay. So what do you want to say to the world, but also her?
What I want to say is, because I have never been in a relationship, I have never, and I take this with a grain of salt. Like, I've been in love with people. I've been in many situationships, but I've never had that high school romance and like that high school love of like dating and like being super cute and lovey-dovey and like having that very high school romance. And I don't know about marriage and kids and all those things, but I do know that like I feel like I'm healing some sort of inner high school self, and I really enjoy that with you.
You know, you're talking to me also, so let's get back to business,
I'm talking,
babe.
To you, Chris, too. Yeah. Okay, I'm back with that. Yeah.
No, I mean, I really understand that though, because I also felt like that with the person I was seeing last year, where I felt this giddiness and this excitement that I think I was wanting to feel when I was younger as well. And I think those are so fulfilling, but also dangerous, because you're willing to sacrifice so much of your happiness for this feeling. And it may not necessarily be the person that you're so attracted to, but instead the feeling of reciprocation. And that to me is like, that's the gag.
The danger.
That's the danger, and that's the gag. Yeah.
Oh my God. Are you a therapist?
No, I just talk to one very often. No, girl, I'm not a therapist, and I don't even know what's going on. I'm still not over the fact that you have said all of this in front of her. Thank you for, you know, in trusting in me to talk about this, and also in front of her. Oh my God. Yeah, you guys have to talk after this. And I honestly would die to be a fly on the wall for that one. But I hope this helped, or I don't even know what this was.
What do you think I should do? Should I break up with her?
Babe, are we still on speakerphone?
No, I can take you off. I'll take you
no,
off.
No, I mean, why stop now? Do I think you should break up with her? I mean, who am I to say, like, you should break up with her? Because I think these sorts of relationships are very formative. However, as someone who is so protective, and I know how brutal that ending felt, I'm like, girl, run for the fucking hills. But I think this is one of those things that you have to learn and experience and go through on your own, and like have it be truly something that you're calling the shots on. Because, I mean, like, I have my own say, but I've only known you for 15 minutes. So, I mean, you will know best, but always make sure that you are like making decisions for your long-term happiness and not like the good climax that you're probably about to have after this call and had many times before this call, it sounds like.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, well, I'm rooting for you. I think I'm rooting for you both. Just have fun, honestly, and trust your gut. I think that's the best you can do at the end of the day.
Well, I appreciate it, and I listen to every advice that you give. So.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I'm happy to be here.
Oh, okay, yeah, totally. I don't, no pressure or anything. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for being a part of the very first episode of Chris vs. the People. I will talk to you later.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. All right, girl, go.
Thank you.
Go. Wow, have a very awkward evening. Jesus Christ. Yeah, thank you. Bye. Oh, my God. I cannot believe that she was saying all of that in front of the person. Like, we were just talking shit. Like, softcore shit in front. I can't even get into it. My God. Okay. The next caller we have is someone named Shannon, and they need advice if they should cut back on smoking weed. There may be pros and cons to this. I use it for anxiety, but it also gives me anxiety. Let's get into it.
Hello.
Hi, Shannon. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People. I'm here to discuss if you should cut back on smoking weed.
Okay. I'm locked and ready to go.
I guess the first question I have is, are you stoned right now?
Yeah, I kind of am. Can you tell?
No, but I sort of figured if you're asking this question and you're calling in here, I'm not guessing that the weed is off the table completely. Now, you said that there were pros and cons to this. You use it for anxiety, but it also gives you anxiety. What anxiety is it giving you? And also, what anxiety is it protecting you from?
Okay, so protecting me from definitely like social anxiety, like just going out. I work from home, so I'm pretty much home all the time. But when I go out, I get a little bit of anxiety, especially just like around new people too.
Oh my God, totally. I'm the same way.
Yeah. But like after like a little bit of talking to them, I like calm down. But like that initial anxiety is like threatening. Like, okay, it needs to go away. Like, I need a Xanax.
Well, no, girl, that's the whole point of you smoking weed, isn't it? I don't think you need a Xanax on top of it.
Sometimes I do.
Okay, yeah, you know what? I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not gonna tell you what to do. I'm not a doctor, clearly. I mean, I'm barely vertical right now. Now, what anxiety does it give you, though?
Okay, so like I said, I work from home, and I usually try to not smoke weed during the day, obviously, because I'm working, trying to be, you know, responsible.
Yeah,
and
totally.
So like when 5 o'clock comes around, I'm just like dying, and I know that's like when I can start to smoke weed. So it's almost like I get anxious thinking and waiting for that time to come. And it's like, it's all because I want to smoke weed. So like, why am I getting anxious about that?
Because I think that's called addiction. Do you feel stifled by not having weed? Like before you smoke weed, are you productive? Like, is this anxiety of not smoking weed getting in the way of things?
No, it's just like crippling for like an hour before like 5 o'clock comes around, because I'm like really productive during the day and I'm not like really tempted to like smoke weed either. And when I'm like, when I'm not doing it, I'm like sober, I feel fine. I've taken a work trip recently to California, and I live in New York. And I didn't smoke at all there because I was just like, you know what, I'm on work. Like,
Wait. You went to the weed capital of the world, and that's when you said, nah, I should take a break?
I know, that sounds like so stupid to say.
It doesn't sound stupid. It sounds fucking insane, babe. Like, that's the time where you say, you know what, we're not going to put one joint in our mouth. We're going to put two.
We're going to double fist some joints, baby, and put a little dab pen in there too. Why not?
Have you tried taking a tolerance break?
Well, that's what I did when I was in California, and it was only like 3 days.
No, yeah, that's why I'm asking. Have you taken like an actual tolerance break?
Oh, I thought that was like one.
Oh, no, babe, that's a tolerance blink.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
I would say like a tolerance break is like a week minimum. I mean, I guess who am I to say like what the guidelines on a fucking tolerance break are? I haven't taken one in probably half a decade. But I mean, I am at this point in life where, especially like drinking, for example, I don't really enjoy the way it makes me feel. I get really depressed the next day. So I've started drinking far less than I have. And I think, how old are you?
I'm 26.
Okay, you're 26. We're getting like at the age where it's like you have to start taking stock of like how shit makes you feel. Because if you are feeling anxiety or even like addicted to something, I feel like this is sort of the time of life where we have to start taking stock of, is this actually good for me? Or like, do I need to get my shit together? And that's, and like, I don't want you to feel like I'm like dogging on you in any way, because I have this, a very similar thought process when it comes to weed of, should I cut back? Should I stop? Should I take a tolerance break? And the way I sort of rule of thumb it is, if it's getting in the way, or I'm like not able to get my shit done, or I'm not able to get my shit done because I'm thinking about it or fiending for it, then that to me is like a time to take a step back and maybe reevaluate.
Okay.
But it sounds like you're getting your shit done, and it's like there are, would you say the pros outweigh the cons or no?
I would say, like, honestly, no, because like really the only pros would be saving money, obviously, because this bitch be expensive as hell. And honestly, like my memory, that's like the other thing that has me like stressing, is I will be talking about something just like straight to someone, and mid conversation, I will literally forget what I'm talking about.
No, you're talking to the CEO of that. I mean, like, welcome to the company, babe. I am the exact same way. And that is like the major one that makes me want to maybe cut back on it. But then also I'm sort of like, okay, there's not much happening these days that I'd like to remember. I think the memory card's a little full.
Literally true.
So, I mean, if you're on the phone with me, a stranger, and you're saying the pros do not outweigh the cons, then it sounds like maybe the answer of should I cut back to smoking weed is yeah. Maybe we should take a little break.
Okay. I can feel like a tolerance break is a good start, too. Like, I don't have to go, like, straight, like, cut it back, like, nothing. Like, I can't have it.
No, totally. And that's the thing, is I think a lot of people, myself included, think that it's like, it's either all or nothing. And it's like, there, we as just people at this point in the world need to understand that there is gray area with everything, you know? Like, I definitely get concerned with my weed intake, and it's like, okay, I set more parameters around it until I feel like I'm at a place where I'm comfortable with having it be present in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like I have smoked a ounce of marijuana. It's just that I'm losing my voice again. So if you're like, Chris, what is that deep, sexy voice you have? It is hopefully not permanent. My God. Jesus Christ, I hope not. But yeah, maybe cut back a little, you know, and see how you feel. And here's the thing. If you feel that you don't like it and life is X, Y, and Z, you can always go back. But I think if you're already having these thoughts and you can say honestly and pretty confidently that the pros aren't outweighing the cons, I think maybe let's explore new things.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll dabble in it. And, you know, if raw dogging life sucks, I can always just go back to it. Like,
absolutely.
It's not like it's the end of the world.
Absolutely. And it's not even like you have to raw dog life, you know? It's like, okay, if it helps with sleep, you know, have a joint in bed and then like work to fall asleep. Like, you don't have to completely deprive yourself if it is something that brings you joy. But I think it's maybe let's reevaluate.
Like in moderations, I feel like I can do better with. Like I don't need to be hitting the bong like 80 times at nighttime. Like you can slow down, honey. Like put it down.
Oh my God, you're hitting the bong 80 times at night and you sound not like I do. What the fuck is happening in this world? This is so unfair.
It's crazy. Like my voice will sound exactly the same. My eyes will not have a hint of red behind them. Like literally I can play it off so perfectly. Like it's a blessing and a curse because I'd be fucking around with that too much.
Oh my God. Okay. The more you keep talking, the more I'm like, I think we need to call the casting director for Euphoria season 3 because girl, what?
Oh no, no, no. No, no, no. It's a hard no for me on that one. That show's going down the drain.
No, I'm just fucking with you, girl. But yeah, good luck with your tolerance break. Maybe we'll hear an update in a future episode. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Well, thanks so much. And I appreciate you talking.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for letting me yap. And congratulations on your Webby nom. So proud of you. So well deserved.
Thank you. Everybody go vote for me, please. The link will be in the description.
Please do it.
Have a great rest of your...
email accounts, just saying.
Oh, gag. Well, have a good rest of your day. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Love you. Have a good rest of your day, too.
Thanks. Bye. Wow, I feel like I just had a real conversation. Yeah, I guess with a listener, but with myself. Damn, I feel like I just held a mirror up to me and said, bitch, listen, we need a tolerance break. Although, no, I will. I'll talk about it on the after show about my relationship with weed. I guess it's gotten better, question mark? I don't know. All right, the next person we're calling is Annie, who has a hot take that people are always chasing a constant high by completely getting rid of themselves as a person.
Hello.
Hi, Annie. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People, and I am calling about your hot take. You said that most people are always chasing a constant high by completely getting rid of themselves as a person. Society has engraved in us that we need to consistently be happy or be, quote, the best version of ourselves when that mindset is toxic and ultimately not fulfilling.
Yes.
How did you get to this Confucius level take? I mean, what the fuck? I read this and I was like, oh, okay, we have a philosophy major in the house.
I actually used to be an English major, so...
Oh my god, did I not just call the fuck out of that?
Yeah, you did. But I switched it. I'm a business major, so who knows?
Oh, okay. You're standing on business now, so stand on it. Why do you feel this way? What happened?
I say this specifically, I think, with this like TikTok and this new era of like self-help books that I see constantly. And I always been trying, like, before, you know, I was like, oh, I want to lose weight because everyone's telling me to, and like, you know, online. And there's always this saying, I think, especially with women, that like, you have to be this perfect version of yourself. But like, at the end of the day, every time I tried to strive to be that person, I would completely just be so obsessed with myself and become even more depressed.
That's actually really interesting to hear it from that point of view, because I've never actually like thought about it like that. But yeah, you're so right of when you are wanting to be this best version of yourself and you're not meeting those goals and those like almost hyperfixations of reaching these goals.
Exactly.
You almost get more upset with yourself and feel like a bigger failure. And it does, like, you saying this, I'm like, oh my god, wait. It does almost feel like there's this stereotypical form of the best version of ourselves that almost continues the idea and narrative of, like, we're not good enough as we are. And it's
exactly.
And oh my god, girl, you are literally Aristotle-ing up in this bitch. What the fuck?
Hey, what can I say? I mean,
no, you really.
I like.
I read this and I was like, it's toxic. That's extreme. And I'm like, no, it kind of is. Of like, be the best version of yourself. I think being the best version of yourself is just meeting you where you are in that moment and either saying that's good enough for me or these are things that I know aren't serving me well, but I would like to feel better about.
Exactly.
That's so
exactly, yeah.
Interesting. Why did you switch from an English major to a business major? I'm like, girl, no, we need you more than ever now.
I mean, I'm marketing, so it's pretty similar to like English, I guess, but...
Wait. Okay, I'm a delusional person, and I don't even understand that little gap. So you were in English, then you were in business, and then you were in marketing, which you think is pretty much English?
I think you need, like marketing's similar to communication, so, like, I feel like you need to have some English traits. I don't know.
Girl, you are crushing the marketing, because I'm like, okay, sure, yeah, marketing and English are the same.
I just want to be rich, honestly. Oh,
honey, I mean, isn't that the fucking goal at this point? My God, everybody's like, I want to be famous. And I'm like, no, I want to be rich, bitch.
Girl, I'm struggling in this economy right now. It's rough.
Well, here's the good news, or maybe the bad news. We all are. We all. No one is winning right now, except are even the billionaires winning? Like, aren't Elon's stocks in the shitter? Like, isn't he also kind of losing? I don't understand what's happening. But then again, I wasn't a business major, so that's not shocking.
I hate all of them, and I try not to pay attention to anything that they say or do because I can't.
No, I get that. What do you have any other hot takes? Because like I'm fully sat. Like you kind of shared the gospel a little. I'm not gonna lie. Actually, I have a question. Do you think that people shouldn't strive to be the best version of themselves then?
No, I don't think. I think you should just be happy with where you're at, unless you're, you know, like in a really low place, like a drug addict or something. Well, and you know, I don't know. But like, I think it's, you should always try.
I stumped the philosopher.
You did stump me. Oh my God.
No, but I do think it's like it's a fine line of, because I was like, up until, I mean, this fucking phone call, I was sort of like, we should all just try and be the best version of ourselves. But I think to an extent that isn't then like tipping the scale back around to make you feel inferior and less than and like shitty about yourself.
But also, when will it end too?
Life? Not soon enough.
True that. But like, when will being the, like, what's that goal? What's the end goal of being the best version of yourself? Well, you're going to constantly strive and compare yourself to other people, even when you think you're at your highest, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, that's definitely like the perspective that kind of gagged me a bit. But I think we're both saying the same thing of like, it's healthy to an extent, like anything. Oh my God, too much of anything is like not good.
Absolutely.
Look at us solving the mental health crisis in America. Who knew that two businesswomen could do such a thing?
Exactly. Let's take over the world.
Oh my, well, I don't want to, honestly. I just want to lay down and get like a solid 6 hours of sleep. That's enough for me these days.
As you should.
As I should.
As me, same here.
Oh my God. Well, thank you so much, Plato, for calling in and giving us the good word. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye. Wow. How did we just go from I should smoke less weed to me totally feeling like I smoke too much weed? That really, I've never thought about like the you should be the best version of yourself being toxic, but yeah, like anything, too much of it can be toxic. Wow. And I'm like thinking about that introspectively about my own life. Is introspectively the right use? It doesn't matter. We all kind of understood with context clues what I meant. I'm wondering if that's a source of unhappiness for me. Because I've never thought about like the strive to be. No, I have. Actually, now that when I put it in these words, yeah, I've totally strive for perfection. And it's like I fall short. At least I feel like I do all the time. So, this has been a really great dialogue with myself in my basement. Now, we have another caller who, his name is Coop, and he needs advice on deciding how to live your life. What do you do to make yourself keep going? And I felt that this was a very relevant topic just for a lot of people, especially with where the world is right now and sort of the emotional turmoil we're constantly put through on a day-to-day basis.
Hello.
Hi, Coop. It's Chris from Chris vs. the People. Now, you are looking for some advice on deciding how to live your life and what to do to make yourself keep going.
Always need the help.
No, for sure. I mean, I can't promise you that I'm going to give you help, but I'm always down to talk through it because I am, what, above all, a nosy bitch. How old are you?
22.
Oh my God, you have your whole life ahead of you. That's such a blessing and a curse. I mean, I think that age and the age that we like pick to choose what we want to do with the rest of our lives is so early on that I don't even think you need to have it figured out what you want to do with your life. Do you have a list of like interests and things that you that get you excited?
So many. And honestly, I think it's just the state of the world and like the state of everybody's mental well-being. Like, how are we supposed to, like, obviously fake it till you make it. And yeah, but how are we supposed to keep going when we're faking it till we make it and we just feel like the biggest imposter ever? Like, ooh. How the fuck?
Okay, imposter syndrome is a topic that now more than ever is fucking me raw. I mean, there is not a condom in sight the way this is fucking me.
No.
But
no,
I
am anti-sponsored by Trojan.
Not yet, honey, but there's always hope. Now, you mentioned, like, having so many things, but it, with this state of the world, I have found that the state of the world and, I mean, just the level of hatred and vitriol and all of these sort of fuel me to want a happier life and to want to find happiness where I can get it. So, I mean, it can be something as dumb. I'm a 31-year-old male who has gotten into coloring, like, yes, markers and coloring books. But, like, that brings me an immense amount of peace and joy, even if it's just for an hour a day. I think finding those things that you do really, that make you feel at least peace or joy or something positive, I think pursue those. And then on top of that, be careful. I guess this is like only applicable to maybe a small group of people, but I'm someone who, because I'm self-employed and kind of create my own career, I am always someone who is like, oh, I enjoy doing this, or I'm good at this, I'm going to monetize it.
I think make money off of it. Exactly.
I think having hobbies is so wildly important, especially with the state of the world, of having things that you can sort of create your own little world doing.
I fully agree. Yeah, I feel like obviously with the state of the world, it makes me want to push myself, but then like we do that and we do that and we do that, but then we get in the spot where it's just like, is it worth it? And so I feel like taking those moments to like do what you said and just color, like color a fucking coloring page or do a Sudoku if you got the math level for it.
I don't, but I'm honored that you think I do.
No, girl, I don't either. Don't trust me. But just finding something to make you happy that's not benefiting anybody else, basically.
I mean, it can benefit other people. I know people who find a lot of fulfillment with charity and things, but I think what you said earlier of like getting to a point of wondering what is the point of this is then maybe that has run its course, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. You know, like I think you can take up Mahjong if you wanted. And then 2 months down the road, you might realize that that's not your fucking jam. And you might be like, what am I doing this for? And then you find a new hobby, or maybe that led you to people who introduced you to something new. But just starting something doesn't mean that it has to last forever.
Yeah.
You know, like that's part of like life and growing up, is the things that served you at 6 aren't going to be the same things that serve you at 10 and the same things that serve you at 22.
It's just all about self-reflection. You have to, I feel like it honestly, every single point that I have just comes back to the state of the world. Like you have to just worry about yourself and find a moment to like think about, what do I need? What do I like? What is bringing me happiness? And go for it.
Absolutely. Because the thing is, if you aren't able to serve yourself, I don't feel that you're able to help other people. And maybe you are, but it won't be to maybe the fullest extent that you could, or you'll find a snag along the way, I think. And that doesn't mean like fuck everyone else, who cares about them. I just think it's wildly important to have a solid foundation of who you are. And that applies to like anything, like a relationship, going out to dinner. It doesn't matter. Like, you need to know yourself and be comfortable with yourself to the fullest extent that you can in order to keep yourself going. I'm a big proponent of writing a list of anything and everything that I think might excite me or bring me joy. And when you're having those moments of like, I don't know where to go next, I don't know what to do, you can pull up this list and you can try something. And yeah, you might hate it, or it could turn out to be something that completely changes your life. But to have that like sort of list to fall back on of, what should I do? Oh my God, why am I giving like advice right now? This was supposed to be a comedy podcast. And I'm like,
you should have gotten my card beforehand, because I'm not paying this copay.
No, that's okay, honey. Insurance is fucking all of us. This one's on the house, doll.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Anything for you guys. I just call me mother. I'm a big proponent of writing a list of anything and everything. It could turn out to be coloring, guys, and it did for me. It's not on paper ideal, but I am having a fucking blast, and it puts me at peace, and it's something I can look forward to that nobody else can say shit to me during. And we all need that now more than ever.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, try not to be too in your head about it and just try and follow your gut. I think that's like the best that you can do in a day-to-day moment. You can't really plan. Obviously you can, but like there's to an extent that you can plan. And I think otherwise just try and find happiness wherever you can, because God, does it feel like it's fleeting.
Oh boy, is it ever.
Yeah. Well, I hope that was helpful at all.
Very sufficient. Thank you.
Oh my, you're welcome. Now, the next one, have your card ready. I'm glad that you taught me to take the card at the top of the call.
Okay. Yes. No, you always get the call when you call first.
Yeah, you're so, so right. Wow. See, I'm learning from you guys too. How fun. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye. Oh my God. What? This is turning into like, is this a self-help podcast? Because this was supposed to be like me being nosy, but this is getting really deep. I just wanted to like hold court with the girls and Kiki a little over the phone. Who knew I was giving out some real advice? To close out the first episode, we're ending with a bang. And it's an Am I the Asshole from someone named Cassidy. And she wants to know if she is the asshole for calling her ex-boyfriend's sister a fugly c**t. She was / is one of the worst people to breathe. She deserved to be called much worse. And God, I would just like to say a sorry to my editor, Justin, for how many times he's going to have to bleep the word c**t. Hi, is this Cassidy?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Cassidy. It's Chris calling from Chris vs. the People. Now, we're going to get to the bottom of are you the asshole for calling your best friend's or your ex-boyfriend's sister a fugly c**t? And I'm guessing by the laughter you're doing that you still stand by it.
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm obsessed with the nonchalantness of this. Now, why was she one of the worst people to breathe?
Just because she had 2016 eyebrows still going in 2025.
Oh. Oh my God. Wait, so this is like a recent ex-boyfriend. Like this is a recent occurrence.
Yeah, this was like a few months ago.
Does she know that you hate her?
Yeah, well, we got into a big fight, which was the reason why we kind of broke up.
And well, don't hide it from us, girl. What was this fight?
So we got into a big fight about, so her brother and me were dating for like 2 years, and she always hated me because I was just better than her in every way.
What was the actual reason she didn't like you? Was she just like insecure and jealous?
I think so. I think she was very insecure, and she had like two friends, and she always just, like every time I had something, she went out and bought it or did it or just try to be like me.
Oh, it was like the roommate Megan Fox kind of situation.
Yeah, right. And she was like 3 years older than me. And so we got into a big fight, and she was like, well, that's the reason why you're fat. And I was like, I can lose weight for free, but you'll always be a fugly c-.
Oh.
I pulled like a Mike the Situation. And Dina from Jersey Shore.
Oh, no, I clocked. No, you painted the picture, babe. You painted the fucking Mona Lisa.
Right.
Oh, my God. Wait, so she fat shamed you? Yeah, you can call her a fugly until the cows come home. I don't give a shit.
She did. And I was like, that's why you're a fugly and that's why you have 2016 eyebrows and you got summer teeth going because your teeth are summer here and summer there.
I would never want to get on your bad side. Oh my God.
No,
you have summer teeth, summer there, and summer not. I actually almost just peed myself from laughing. What did she respond to this?
She was like, and that's why you'll always be a nasty human being because you talk like that. And I was like, listen here, you insecure little bitch.
Wait, so was this happening in front of your now ex?
Yes, and both of his parents. It was like a full-on brawl. Like, we were screaming at each other. Oh, it was a whole big thing.
Yeah, no, it doesn't sound peaceful or small. Did he break up with you on the spot?
No, I kind of just, like, walked out of his house and, like, came home and like just never spoke to him again.
Oh my God. So this blowout was like a goodbye.
Yeah. Like me and his sister, like we would get along and then she would like get nasty and be like, I just don't like you. I just don't think you're a right fit. And I was like, girl, I don't even talk to you. Like,
where?
You don't even drive. You're like 28 years old. You don't even drive.
Where do you live? And like, where does this fairy tale take place? Like West Virginia?
So, no, like Pennsylvania.
Oh, kind of similar. I think she's maybe jealous of any girl that dates her brother.
Yeah, and it's like I get it. Like, it's her younger brother. She's protective. But like, also, he's a grown man.
Yeah, no, that's sort of why I like think she might like low-key want to date her brother.
Honestly.
That is like, was she like this to any of his other girlfriends?
Well, I was his first girlfriend, so I really just set the bar.
So she was really setting the tone. Got it. Wow.
I
would say if you called her a fugly cunt out of nowhere, then yeah, you would be the asshole. But if you were doing that as a retaliation, girl, that's just a, what is the phrase? A tit for a tat?
Yeah, we would fight constantly, and then she would ignore me for like 2 weeks at a time. And anytime I walked in, she was like, and roll her eyes. Like, girl, go overdraw your eyebrows again.
I would kill to be at that Thanksgiving table. My God. I mean, my God. I would pay to be there. I would pay fucking money to sit at that Thanksgiving table. No, I do not think you're the asshole. I think there will probably be some people who disagree with me, but I think you are. I think you're a fucking treasure, Cassidy.
You know what? I try my best, Chris.
No,
I'm just this little girl who just tries her best, and this girl wanted to come at me.
No, and if I've learned anything from this first episode of Chris vs. the People, it's I will never come for you, Cassidy. In fact, I'm like almost wanting to hang up the phone because I'm afraid of catching a stray. You scare me.
No, Chris, honestly, I'm a nice girl, I promise.
I'm just going to smile and nod and totally not say another word, so.
Right.
Well, thank you for closing out this episode of Chris vs. the People. My God, what a little cherry on top to end with.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God. I can honestly say I will never forget summer teeth. Oh, my God.
Right. New insult. Or like summer eyes, summer here, summer there.
Girl, we'll talk after the show because I cannot with you, and we need to cut this line of communication ASAP before we truly just get banned from YouTube or something.
Banned. Canceled.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you. Thank you, honestly, not even for being a part of it, but thank you for these like future insults that I've got in my back pocket now. Fuck.
You are welcome to use them whenever, Chris.
No, I will, but thank you for the permission.
You're welcome.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye. Wow, what started with a game of Am I the Asshole really ended on maybe the best note I could have asked for. And if that isn't going to set the tone for the rest of this show, I don't know what is. Anyways, guys, cheers. We just did the very first episode of Chris vs. the People. I am very appreciative for everybody who is so excited with anticipation for this show and who's tuned in, who's subscribed, who's followed the socials. I just feel very, very lucky to have people who want to hear from me. Honestly, I don't understand it because there's days where I don't want to hear my own voice. Just know that I'm extremely grateful and I'm so excited to see what this show turns into. This was episode 1 and I'm so excited to see where we'll be by episode 10, let alone like episode 100. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and we have video episodes up on youtube.com/@ChrisVsThePeople. Like I said earlier, be sure to rate this 5 stars and leave a really nice review. And if you want to share this with some friends, that would be greatly appreciated as well. Be sure to vote for me for a Webby Award for Comedy Creator. And I will see you guys on the after show on patreon.com/ChrisClemons. Ah, bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.